Hi, folks. Welcome to another episode of Film Study. This is Ken McCusick, and we have another concerns episode for today. We're talking to you about expectations. Joining me to do that is Jacob. Jacob, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Ken. How are you? Thanks for having me on.
I appreciate you making the time for us. So you brought up this concerns episode, and it was from the point of view of a track coach. Yep. Tell us a little bit about what your concern is.
So I don't coach track anymore, but I coached Division III college for about 5 years, a number of years ago. And when I look at the current iteration of the Ravens, I see a lot of similarities between some of the athletes that I had coached over the years from a mentality standpoint, specifically like in high leverage moments or focusing too much on one result to the detriment of their entire season. So I thought I would message you about it.
Okay. Well, I know the explanation you gave me on this, but let's start with what the Ravens situation is. So, you know, the Ravens have had some things happen during the postseason, obviously, that have cost them some games. And it's been a wide variety of things, but most of it, we'd agree, has been on the offense, right?
Yes, I'd say that.
And if you were to give us a list of things that you would point to as like key errors at key times.
Yeah, I mean, if you go back to pretty much the beginning of the Lamar era, you have you know, he couldn't figure out the 6 DB look in the Chargers. I think that was more of a rookie thing. I don't think that was, you know, you can't really ask. I think that in 2018, Lamar exceeded all expectations despite the disappointment of what happened in the playoffs.
Okay, so let's review that game for just a moment, because they got way behind the first half. There was even talk about replacing him and putting Flacco back in.
They did. Yeah.
John Harbaugh said he considered it and then decided, no, I just want to go with it. I'm glad we did. Yeah. And then they made a really nice comeback, but it was eventually impaled by a fumble with 25 seconds or so left to go on a sack. It would have been a tough comeback even from that point. But it was a game the Ravens lost, I think, at the line of scrimmage, fair enough to say. The four-man Chargers defensive line with seven defensive backs behind it.
Oh, was it seven? I had six.
Yeah, they played seven on like 55 of 56 plays or something like that. It was all but one play, yeah. It really sucks. A couple of big Lamar losses have been like that. That game and then the running 40-0 cover zero blitzes at Miami.
Yeah,
exactly. So anyway, that was the first Lamar game, and yeah, expectations were not super high. He'd come in and save the season, frankly, in the second half. Ravens were 4-5 when he took over.
Yeah,
they, you know, ran it down the stretch and made the playoffs, and that was great. But then it didn't work out. I don't think people were more effusive at any time going into 2019 on what the Ravens could still be in the second year of Lamar.
Yeah. Well, I thought in that Chargers game, so my memory of that is that Lamar, he played pretty fearlessly despite not being able to figure out that look. And then in 2019, I remember we came into that season and it was, you know, we didn't know what to expect. And then we came out and went 14-2. And it was a shock to me. I thought we were going to maybe win 10 or 11 games. And then we, you know, led the AFC, which was incredible. You know,
they got the season turned around in a way after a 2-2 start. It wasn't great. They lost that game to Cleveland. They got beaten pretty badly.
Yeah.
40-25 or something. I mean, it was more than two scores was the final anyway. That's the way I recall it.
That's one of the few only two scores games.
I have to go back a while, don't you? Yeah. But the Ravens in that first 4 weeks had to completely rebuild the defense that was on the field. New linemen, new inside linebackers. They flushed the toilet on their inside linebacker group basically, and obviously the addition of Marcus Peters was huge. And you know, players like Jahad Ward are forgotten, but we brought him in midseason.
Yeah, and LJ Fort was there, right, for that.
Yep. LJ Fort was one of the inside linebackers they brought in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then we get all the way to the playoffs and in 2019 against the Titans, and we pretty much got out physicaled. we didn't really run the ball very well. We didn't score a touchdown in the first half. There's a tip pass to Mark Andrews on the first possession of the entire game for an interception. And Jackson threw 22 passes in the first half, which is against the at the time a lot, and against the identity of what we did all season. And we can talk to death about Greg Roman, and we won't because it's not that show. But, you know, that seemed to be, you know, sort of setting the trend, I think, for the next couple seasons against the Bills. And then he was injured, obviously, for those 2 years. But
okay, so 2020, they won the game at Tennessee. Really nice comeback, spearheaded by Jackson in terms of the big run to get him going. I think I might have gotten the game tied at 10. And then they went on to win that game, picked by Marcus Peters, seals it up. They stomp on the logo and everything seems to be good. Then they have to go to Buffalo the next week for the divisional game.
Yeah. More costly mistakes, offensive struggles I have written down. There were several botched snaps by McCary, who was at center at the time. And then Lamar throws his first pick six ever in the red zone, part of what started my thought process on this is that, you know, there's all these firsts or things that haven't happened in a while that happen in these terrible playoff losses. But, you know, part of that is just the fact of if you lose a game, bad things are going to happen. But I think it's worth continuing on. And then 21.
Let me talk just real briefly about the 20 game at Buffalo. Obviously,
yeah, of course.
There's nothing about the conditions that were so darn different. It was cold, I'm sure, because it was Buffalo, but I don't really remember. The Tennessee game was like 60 degrees, so that wasn't really the issue. Yeah. But there's a lot of wind for Tennessee. For Buffalo, it was a matter of he'd never thrown an interception in the red zone, and it always been a case where he would move laterally along the line of scrimmage, and then he'd find the direct target, and Lamar Jackson basically never throws a fade pattern and none of the patterns that have a higher interception risk. But somehow, some way, he found Teron Johnson, and Teron Johnson not only intercepted the ball for the first ever, but he also ran it all the way back.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember that game being misty for some reason. And then didn't Lamar get knocked out of that game as well with a concussion at the end of it?
Yeah. He got knocked out on a bad snap by McCary.
And then
He got knocked back into the turf, which has now happened a couple of times.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then I don't know if you want to talk about the team in general in 21 and 22.
They didn't make the playoffs either year. Lamar was injured. I think that's anybody would call that the major reason.
I was thinking for some reason that the Bengals game that we lost on
Sam
Hubbard. Right. Yeah. Was that in the playoffs?
It was in 22. Yeah. It was. They made it despite the fact that Lamar was out. They won a game with Huntley at quarterback. And then is the Huntley game and the playoff flub by Huntley in that case, part of the problem here? Is it part of the discussion of the 2025 Ravens anymore?
I don't. Well, I mean, he's on the team again, but I think that it might contribute a little bit because, you know, why would you go over the pile like that? That was that game, right, where he jumped over the pile, and was it Sam Hubbard? He knocked it out and ran it back. Yes,
I don't remember who knocked it out, but Hubbard definitely ran it back.
Yeah. So I think that, like, I don't think you can. You can't put that on Lamar, obviously. But I think, you know, this isn't just a show about Lamar. It is the rest of the team. I thought the defense played well in that game, but it's just one of those things where, you know, it's just a crazy thing that happened that shouldn't have happened, that somehow happened. And would we have won the Super Bowl that year? No, but it would have been nice to advance and beat the Bengals. But then we have the Chiefs in 2023, which when I look at it, is a pretty good reflection of that 2019 Titans game. You know, we didn't run the ball. What was it, six times?
From the running backs.
And that's fair for Lamar as well. I mean, and Lamar in that game had some incredible plays. You know, he caught his own pass, and that ball to Zay Flowers that got fumbled at the 1 yard line or whatever it was. And then Devin Bush intercepted him. It was an underthrown pass to Likely, I think. And then Lamar was strip sacked in that game, which was that's not that that game I was thinking of. Did you have anything about?
Yeah, I mean, it was an awful set of things that happened, obviously, in that game. So Lamar threw one interception in that game. It wasn't really terrible, but they did fumble the ball, and they lost both of their fumbles. The Chiefs had two fumbles. They didn't lose either of them. And did Mahomes throw an interception in that game? No, he did not.
Yeah,
he was effective, not up to the normal Mahomes level, but he was effective in the game.
Yeah, well, that was a crazy defense, though. I mean, that was that's one of our all-time defenses and one of their all-time defenses as well, mm-hmm. I'd say. And then last year, we had our first turnover in almost a month and the second time all season with multiple turnovers. We had the pass to Bateman that was intercepted. Lamar fumbled after a bad snap. Mm-hmm. Andrews had the ball punched out and dropped the two-point conversion. And that brings us up to today. I think that, you know, it's fair to say they're all nightmare games and all games where the Ravens on the offense anyway were almost unrecognizable, with the exception, I think, of the Buffalo game. Despite the turnovers, we did seem to move the ball pretty well in that game.
They did have two score losses during this period, and they were both fairly early, 19 and in 2020 they had the two score losses.
Yeah. No. So that had me thinking about what I had noticed in some of my track athletes when I was coaching them. And I coached the 400 meter dash. And in Division III, you have a large subset of runners, from people who've just come out for the first time to people who are elite in their own right, had gone to states in high school. And a lot of these guys were trying to run sub 50. That's like the first step to really like qualifying for a lot of the big meets. So that's one lap around the track in 50 seconds. And
let me tell you about the online cannabis company that's changing the game, Mood.com. They created an entirely line of functional gummies, 100% federally legal THC blends, discreetly delivered right to your doorstep. And here's the best part. You can get 20% off your first order at mood.com with the promo code Ravens. Now, I've tried a bunch of their gummies myself. Each one's totally unique. The Sleepy Time gummies knock me out right away. They help me unwind fast, leave me refreshed the next morning. The Epic Euphoria gummies, they're perfect for when your day just isn't going the way you want it to go. What makes Mood special is how they pair the THC with natural herbs and adaptogens. You won't find blends like this at any local shop. They've got gummies designed for focus, relaxation, clarity, even energy, all made from cannabis grown on small, family-owned American farms. No pesticides, no shortcuts, just high-quality weed you can trust. Plus, Mood backs everything with a 100-day satisfaction guarantee. So head on over to Mood.com, check out their amazing selection, and don't forget to use the promo code Ravens at checkout to save 20% off your first order.
Every day, companies you've never heard of are making millions off your personal data. Your name, address, phone number, even details about your family are pulled from public records on the internet, then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace built on your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. Aura removes your personal data from broker sites and keeps it off. Aura also alerts you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal system. It's a full digital security suite that protects every part of your online life. Aura gives you a VPN to stay private, antivirus to block threats, a password manager for safer logins, and spam call protection to shut down scammers. Aura scans the dark web for your most sensitive information and notifies you instantly if anything is exposed. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 billion in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other service charges about the same, but only cover one or two areas. Aura gives you everything: data broker removal, identity and credit monitoring, device protection, and fraud support, all in one simple app. Aura removes what's already exposed, protects what's not, and puts you back in control. Go to aura.com/remove for complete digital protection and peace of mind. That's aura.com/remove.
What we were finding is that a lot of these guys would get so focused on that time that they would train for that time. They'd eat, sleep, and breathe that time, and they wouldn't make it. And every time they didn't make it, they would get more and more frustrated, and they'd get more and more down on themselves. And I'm not saying that Lamar Jackson is a head case or that the Ravens are head cases. I just wonder, and what my concern is if when things start to go poorly, they tend to cascade in multiple ways. And I don't know what the answer is to practice this in order to get through it in the regular season. It's just something that Lamar, I think, has to do. And what the team has to overcome, and they're not going to overcome it until they overcome it. You know, not to bring up Mike Tomlin's standard as the standard, but yeah.
Well, I mean, that's true too. I mean, Tomlin obviously has had a lot of problems with winning the playoffs at all for the last decade.
Right.
That's what you're referring to, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, and his Tomlinism, the standard is the standard. So you can't do it until you do it, you know?
Yeah. And that's the way I feel about the Ravens, is just that they haven't been ideal, certainly in the playoffs, mm-hmm. but they cannot get over this hump ever just by talking about it or right. by their fans talking about it. And there's not one blessed thing that their fans talking about it is going to impact it positively or negatively, in my opinion.
I don't know, Ken. I'm sure Lamar listens to this and he's going to be motivated by it.
But one thing that Ravens have rarely done during the regular season with Lamar is play from behind. They have a long record of big halftime leads and being able to close out wins like no other team has. Their record in one score games is exactly what you'd expect of a great team, but their record in multi-score games is even more exactly what you'd expect out of a great team, more than you would expect.
Yeah.
And that's where, they have not often been in the situation where they had to come back and win a game. As Mahomes seems to be in that position on a weekly basis. The Steelers even more often, because they're have been truly mediocre over the last 5 years. They've only been about 24 points better than their opponent over the entire period.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that, that makes these losses all the more, stick out. When it comes to Mahomes, it reminds me of Joe Flacco, like in a way where you have to make these crazy plays to win these games. They're different quarterbacks, but what the Chiefs have had to do the last couple years, you know, they haven't really had the best receiving core. Their defense has kept it in, has kept their team in games, much like the Ravens playoff run of the late 2000s and early 2010s,
the early Harbaugh era, for the beginning of the Flacco era as well. So those first 5 years were magical, and it ended up being the worst team of the five that ended up winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
And I guess one of the things that we talked about a little bit in the production meeting, though, there was never really that much in terms of expectations on those Ravens teams. Not like there are on the current Ravens anyway. The current Ravens, I mean, they're already anointed as the best roster going into the season. The question always with the early Flacco Ravens was, do they have a quarterback who can win? Period.
Right. Is he elite?
Yeah.
And I think that with Flacco, because there was no expectations, it almost freed the Ravens up to play a more loose version of football. And we see that in the regular season from Lamar. When Lamar is feeling himself and he plays how he plays, they're almost unstoppable. You know, when he can improvise and he can, you know, when the stakes are lower, he tends to have better success. And I think that comes back to this idea that when you're on top, when you have all these expectations, when everyone says you're the best, you have to perform like the best. And when you don't perform like the best, you start to tense up, and that's when you make mistakes.
Well, if we look at the teams that played the Ravens in the early 2000s, you can really see that. You can see it in Al Del Greco's missed field goals. You can see it in the fact that the Denver game, a 21-3 win that was actually at down at Camden Yards. That game was one-sided from the beginning, and it was just the Ravens waiting to pounce on any mistake and not to get any chances with the football themselves.
Right.
Then they went on to the next week and they capitalized on every single mistake that Tennessee made to win a game that they lopsidedly lost at the line of scrimmage and in the trenches. I mean, they were out first down 23-5 or whatever it was, and it was 1-for-5 for Del Greco kicking field goals. It was 1-for-4 officially, but he also missed a kick where he got another chance at it because of a defensive offsides that he could have declined. So he's 1-for-5 in the game. That was incredible. You know, they got they blocked two field goals, which was great. They also had two punts blocked, and it kept Tennessee out of the end zone on those. So it just every single advantage, and that, you know, they went on the road as 6-point underdogs. Nobody really expected them to win. They didn't expect them to win the next week in Oakland, and they throttled the Raiders. And then they went to the Super Bowl, and it was basically a very close game. Ravens about a 2.5-point favorite, and they dominated like we've never seen a team dominate since in terms of that game. But the expectations were low. I mean, all the way along, nobody had the Ravens as a big favorite at any point, including all the way up through 47.
Yeah, I remember. I remember reading like national media like articles on my phone when I was in college. That was when they won that Super Bowl in 2014, 14. No one ever picked us. So we just went in and we played our brand of football, and Ray Lewis gave a speech, and they took care of business. So I think that if we had lower expectations, which is impossible with this roster and this team and the amount of talent, I wonder if it would free them up to, you know, play a little bit looser and not be so, not feel like their season is cascading to an end every time, you know, they're behind at the half and they have an interception.
It's kind of hard to know though, isn't it? Because they've basically never been an underdog by any significant amount since Lamar's first MVP season. They've never been an underdog they might've been an underdog by 4 points.
Yeah,
maybe at some point, but you know, and I'm not talking about the games that Huntley started or any crap like that. I'm talking about games started by Lamar. It's really hard to know, you know, if lower expectations, if being a 6-point dog might actually help this team in the postseason.
Well, you not see, no, but you see teams try to manufacture that underdog mentality, like Kansas City, you know, they somehow were able to do it last year when they're like, well, no one thinks we can three-peat, and they didn't, but that was their swagger all year, is, you know, like, no one believes we can do it, even though they are the most successful team in the modern era of football since Tom Brady. I don't know how the Ravens can kind of seize a little bit of that juice and try to maybe play a little looser.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's an interesting potential coaching perspective, and it's one the Ravens, I don't believe they've really embraced. I don't think it'd be very much like the Ravens to say play like a Raven and then embrace some sort of underdog role. The Ravens can embrace a villain role.
Roquan loves that.
Suggs, you know, most of the defense really loves it. They want to be villains, but. It just doesn't work the same way on the offense. Offense is too precise and too technical, and you know, you want to be specific and intentional about how you're practicing. And I think they're doing good things with that this year.
Yeah.
I just don't know that they'll ever be able to be able to legitimately embrace an underdog doing this thing. I think Harbaugh could literally read down 30 things Nick Wright or some other one of these other idiots has said
Nick
about
wrong.
Lamar. Yeah. And read them out and see if that would motivate him. I don't know if it would. I really don't know if it would.
I don't know. I don't know if Lamar's that type of player, you know? Mm-hmm. And I don't think Harbaugh, like to your point, is that type of coach. I think he wants to win, and he wants to execute, and he wants everyone to do their job.
Right. And it's fair to say is, you guys know you're good enough to do this, right? I don't have to tell you to do this. That's something that Billick, you know, really embraced with the Super Bowl after the 2000 season. He said was, you know, you guys won all 4 year preseason games. You went 12-4. Yeah, you were a wild card team, but the only team that was ahead of you in any meaningful way was the team you just kicked the teeth out of down in Tennessee. And, you know, he impressed that on their things. And he also, I thought, did a good job with making the Titans the villain during the regular season. It did come back to bite him a little bit in the playoffs when he played on the scoreboard. But it's just, it just, I don't think it would play with this Ravens team. I just I think if Harbaugh tried to do it, I don't think he could be genuine enough in trying to sell it that it would make sense to the team.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
All right. Outstanding stuff, Jacob. This is a really interesting topic. And you know, a little bit of the mental side of football here and trying to connect the dots on what's happened in Ravens history. Tell folks where you they can talk football with you online.
I'm not really on X or Twitter anymore. I mostly use it to message you, Ken. But I'm on Blue Sky at I think it's prof_Boggs at Blue Sky, or like whatever their extension is there. That's pretty much it. Yeah.
Prof_Boggs. Got it.
Yeah.
All right. Other folks out there, thanks for listening as always. We appreciate it. It's now probably too late for anybody to get in on the concern series, but I do appreciate a lot of the people contacting me and trying to be on that. But I appreciate you coming on, Jacob. But if you want to do something nice for the show, as always, just tell one new person about it. That's all we ask. Like and subscribe if you're on YouTube. Jacob, thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Ken.
And we'll talk to you next time on Film Study.